I was just preparing to screw around on my Nintendo some more and be like, damn Molly and her tech issues.
Yes, you can always blame me being a Luddite on the fact that you have no fucking motivation.
No motivation and no self-control. It's
Yeah, well, I guess I'll just go back to playing my Switch because Molly is such a fucking loser.
let this rest uneasy on your crimson cow, Sal.
I don't know if I could live with that on my conscience.
There you go. Probably my crimson crown, unless I already said that. Okay. Everyone, welcome. It's Papa's Basement. It's your host, John Papa Giorgio, and Molly Heckerling. Hi, Molly.
If you're the host, I guess that makes me the virus. Waka waka.
I said hosts, plural. Yeah.
Host, so thank you.
It's a
Oh.
promotion that comes with zero pay and zero responsibility. So, can you fight it? No.
I am ready for the extra obligation of this zero pay, zero status job.
I know it's been a couple months since the last pod, and I guess the easiest thing for us to talk about was we saw each other a couple weeks ago. We got to hang out in New York together.
We did. It's always very enthralling to meet in the flesh and be reminded that we're both actual human beings that exist.
I thought we did better this time. I know the first few times, not that we did poorly, but it's weird meeting someone you've talked to on the phone a ton and online a ton, and then you just see them in the flesh. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh,
There's a
so
whole
that's
other.
it.
Exactly. You're so goddamn ugly.
No, I felt a little bit more comfortable in my skin suit this time around, so that
And it showed. Your skin suit was
was
positively radiant.
good. Thank you.
Your rotting flesh bag. The gal pal and I drove up on a Friday and back on a Sunday, which is about what my job allows because I don't hire out anyone and don't take things seriously, even though I've been doing it for 23 years. So yeah.
But you're also like quasi freelance, right? So you could theoretically like set your own schedule a little bit.
I kind of do whatever the fuck I want. It's just how much do I want to pay the piper afterward? Like it's the nightmare being all the companies that use me because my day job, again, I'm a locksmith and I'm a business of one. And I would say the past few years, not a ton of my business is organic, like people calling me directly. It's almost all these kind of, I guess they're called either property management companies or facilities companies. And they kind of present themselves as like an all-in-one solution. So like, Old Navy would just call the now defunct Servicecom, for example. And Servicecom would get them electricians or plumbers or locksmiths, depending what they need. And yeah, my fear is always that these guys call someone else and that someone else does it cheaper and better, or at least cheaper, which is all they give a fuck about.
Every prostitute's worst nightmare.
Exactly. The fucking younger, hotter broad who's giving it away for less.
Yeah, the younger, hotter locksmith is going to show up and ask for less because they're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and just wanting the exposure.
Yeah, exactly. Just want to get out there and grind themselves to a fucking nub for companies that don't give two rats asses about them. And I was that guy for a while. No more. I'd rather people bitch about my prices than tell me, oh my God, you're so much cheaper than everyone else. Because you hear that and it's just such a dick punch. You're like, oh God.
Oh, you're like, I could have asked for more, but I have no self-respect.
Yeah, exactly. I've done zero market research in the profession that I've called my own for 20 plus years. I don't know what I
Oh.
should be charging.
Well, I thought you were just in it for love of the game.
I mean, there's like
And because you
five.
inherited the tools.
Yeah, basically, my dad died, left me a van full of drills, and I was like, I'm a locksmith now. That is pretty goddamn close to the truth, actually. Fucking,
Oh,
yeah.
I wish my daddy left me something.
Yeah, your dad could have croaked and left you like a proton pack or something. He could have
Something.
done Ghostbusters in real life.
His wife was like, "Is there anything you want?" And I was like, "I'll take that bass guitar." And my half brother was like, "That's mine." And I was like, "Oh, dude, can I have your bass?"
Yeah, did
No
I stutter?
dice. Yeah. Look, you owe me too, asshole.
Oh, fucking hell. God, it reminds
Yes.
me of going through my uncle's crap while he was still alive to steal many a stringed instrument.
Look, you're pretty much dead. Can I just have this TV
Yeah,
tray?
you're ennui regarding the entire music business died decades ago.
Yeah.
Let's have at this fucking Japanese knockoff Stratocaster, please and thank you.
But yeah, meeting the gal pal was nice. We all went out and had like a lovely dinner,
We
doubly
did,
date
and
situation at that Italian place.
well, I would have, we would have been there sooner, but yours truly randomly found a GameStop in bumfuck Delaware that had a game I was looking for. A physical copy of Blasphemous, selling at GameStop for $35, but on eBay for 140.
This is the
Couldn't.
plug. We got that sweet
Oh no. Yeah.
moolah from the
No, please.
GameStop people.
GameStop can fuck themselves because I found another copy of this in Jamaica, Queens, like a month ago, and it never shipped any local shops, which is why I had to go to bumfuck Delaware. And then we pulled over at a cheesesteak place. I wrote down the name, Milan's Real Philly Cheesesteaks. And
Mulan's real Philly
yes,
cheesesteak.
Boulange Philly Cheesesteak Asian Fusion. I should have paid more attention to the signs before ordering because they had two different things up. One was like, don't lean like on our counters while waiting. And the other is was your food is made to order, so please give us time. And I think we might have waited longer for those fucking chicken cheesesteaks, Molly, than we did the dinner that we had with you and your dude later that night. It was like a nightmarish eye-rolling 45 minutes or something obscene like that, allowing me to take in all the sights of Milan's, including a pamphlet for the nearby amusement park, Diggerland, which I'm sure no one in a Philly suburb has ever referred to by any other name starting with a different consonant.
Right.
Yeah,
What's
so.
Digger Land? Is that where you go like mining for? This was in
Well,
Delaware.
I did my
What do they dig
research.
for in Delaware?
Diggerland is a construction equipment themed amusement park for children.
That actually sounds pretty fun.
Yeah. I thought it was just some shitty water park, but I just read up on it
It was
and
like some dude in Delaware, same story as you. Look, I inherited my dad's construction company and all these diggers. I don't know what to do. I'm opening a theme park.
has mob debt collection
Yeah.
written all over it, just like Tony, you know how to use a backhoe? No. It's like when Homer Simpson got the mattresses and then envisioned making the park with
Oh
them.
yeah, mattress. It smells
Mattress.
funny in there. No, it doesn't.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. And Diggerland is located right next to Professor Gatsby's Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, which I just loved.
Okay. I really love that. Professor Gatsby, like named after the literary character that died in his pool.
I just love the
heating and plumbing.
guy rolling up with his butt crack hanging out of his jeans. Are you really a professor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same way Dr. J was a doctor. You know, like,
Right.
fuck off. Oh, shit. That brought me a lot of delight. But yes, we got to, we stayed on the Upper West Side, like 500 feet from where John Lennon was shot, and you could still feel the dead dream hanging in the air.
You can walk through strawberry fields and still hear hippies weeping.
Yeah. Oh God. We did walk through that, the big kind of imagine mosaic
Yeah.
on the ground. Yeah. And just exactly what John Lennon wanted in his death. Just a
Oh,
bunch of people peddling, Chinese made John Lennon shit.
Right. And the ugliest bronze statue you've ever seen of yourself on a bench forever.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. Is it a real butt fugly statue? I don't think we
I
saw
feel like
that.
any time you make a bronze statue of anybody, it looks terrible. There's this statue of Judy Tenuta, and I love Judy Tenuta, and it is nightmare fuel.
I'm looking both these up right now.
The John Lennon one, I thought it was in Strawberry Fields, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a minute since I've been there, which is sad because I've basically like lived in that area for the past, fucking
You're
20
super close,
years.
yeah. I see one
Yeah.
John Lennon statue in Havana. And it's not terrible. All right. Hold on, I gotta see Tenuta
This
bronze
is important
statue.
that you do this recon right now for
Oh,
audience of
Jesus.
two. Yeah.
Okay, that one's
They
not. That's
did her no favors.
I've always lived in fear of being a sculptor. Like that, or being an engineer that built something that fucked up. Like, I just
I think
couldn't.
the stakes are higher for an engineer who builds something and fucks up. It's like if you're a subpar sculptor, you could just be like, oh, it's artistic license. I meant for it to
Yeah,
look
exactly. And, fucking with what metal costs these days, they'll just smelt it down into ingots and call it a fucking day.
Yeah, right. Who cares?
But yeah, to be like the guy that builds a bridge that somehow collapses and to know the buck stopped with you. Oh God. Like I feel bad installing a deadbolt incorrectly.
Yeah, how did they feel when they watched like the Challenger explode and be like, oh, that's
Oh
on
my God. Shit. And I mean like
us.
they know exactly what the failure was on that thing.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to carry
Yeah,
the
exactly. Like, oh, we didn't account for the fact
fuck.
that once in a while it does get sub 85 degrees in fucking Florida or something like that. Because I think, yeah, here's your trivia for the day. It was literally like a sealant ring that contracted when cold, and it launched like on a rare like 60 or 70 degree day, I think,
Oh
in Florida.
shit.
And it had like, yeah, contracted and went kablooey because of that.
See, that's exactly what's happening with my toilet. The wax ring around the thing
Yeah,
isn't
exactly. So
working, and now everything's exploding.
don't hire the professor.
I mean, like, are you Professor Jay Gatsby?
Know what you did back in 87, you butcher. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, we had din din at an Italian place the first night, Friday night.
It was Polpette. It was the
Pop, yeah,
original
Poplet, right?
Polpette.
Or Polpette, or yeah, Pol
Polpette.
Pot.
Pol Pot. Yeah, you go there and you eat a bunch of dead Cambodians or something. Was Pol Pot Cambodia? I'm stupid. My brain's fried. No, but it was Polpette,
Think
and
so, right?
the woman who was waiting on us was the sister of the guy who owns the place. So this like middle-aged Italian woman that's clearly been like working this room for the past like 30 years, and she just had such great Italian mom energy that we all wanted her to like adopt us and take us home. She was
Oh,
like,
yeah.
you order something, she's like, get this appetizer. Oh, you're only getting a half portion. What's the matter? You're not hungry? Like, you want
Yeah.
dessert? And we were like, no, we don't want dessert. Just like, you're having dessert, and just
Yeah,
brought us
here it
shit
is
for
for
free.
free.
It's
Yeah.
like, have dessert to wash it down, like that sort of
I
energy.
remember yeah, Kelly was trying to just get I think like a chicken cutlet or something. She's like, "What? You can't make a chicken cutlet at home? Get this." It's like, I love it
Yeah.
when people shit
It's
talk
just
their own
like,
menu.
yeah, don't be afraid to tell us what you really think, Mom. Like,
Yeah. We should straighten up and fly straight. You're right.
yeah.
Oh,
You're
God.
right. I am all skin and bones. I'll get the full portion of
I will
cappellini.
be. I do need to relax. Yeah, no, that was very solid meal. I mean that used to be my old standby, just go to New York and eat Italian food for like 3 fucking days. Like, because I was convinced you couldn't get anything super good in Italian, like south of Philly or Baltimore. I've since found a few places in DC that aren't bad, but yeah, no, I gorged myself on Italian shit, and then we parted ways that night. Kelly and I marched through Central Park at night, seeing many a fat urban raccoon, and made our way to Brady's Piano Bar on the Upper East Side. I don't know if you've
Oh, I've never. Is it like a Mary's Crisis situation where everyone's singing show tunes around the
Thank Christ, not show tunes like
piano?
pop shit. But it's a weird place. Like, you tell me your read on this. So, first of all, it's always packed to the gills because my girlfriend, who's either got wet brain from years of boozing or is just forgetful, was acting like she was taking me to a place I'd never been before. She's like, "Look, please do this with me. We have to go. This is my favorite bar on earth." And I'm like, okay. And then we show up, and I'm like, why were you acting like you took me here 4 months ago? What the fuck is wrong with you? And she's like, oh shit, I forgot that. And I recounted the entire night. And she's like, okay, I might have been loaded. Sorry.
I love the idea of Kelly just taking you to any bar and being like, we have to go here. This is my
This
favorite
is
bar
the best bar on earth. It's a
on
TGI Fridays in Culpeper.
earth. And we were here yesterday.
Yeah. I've had bang bang shrimp, god damn it. Yeah, so it's great because there's a door guy, and what makes him so funny is he never breaks character, and his character is dude who watches one person walk out of this fire hazard, waits for a minute, and then says, okay, y'all can come in, and lets in five people, and then one more person walks out. And he looks and he's like, okay, you five can come in. And he just keeps packing the place, and it's almost impossible to move. And speaking of like postmenopausal charming Italian women, there's a broad named Maria at this place. And its gimmick is there's a piano player and there's a couple of bartenders, and the bartenders are all, I don't know, you'd say Broadway aspirants, or they've washed out depending on their age.
They're 30-year-old theater kids.
There was one 30-year-old theater guy. There was like maybe like a late 30s theater blonde. There's the 50-something Maria, and they all get up and will sing, I don't know, five or six pop songs as picked by the audience, as long as the audience is like, coughing up $20, and then the entire bar, lights up and sings along to fucking Taylor Swift or Lady Gaga or whatever, and then they ultimately, they're like, oh, thanks, you've been too great. And then they just shuffle off, and then they're your fucking bartender again. And
Okay.
no, what's your take first?
It sounds atrocious.
Yeah, it
At
ain't
least
my.
at Marie's Crisis, it's a piano bar, but like you're all crowded around the piano and everyone's singing. Like I feel like if you're coughing up $20 to go to a place,
You're still
every
on
like
here.
and it's sort of like you're making requests. It shouldn't just be like, and now you get to hear the bartender sing your favorite songs. Like, no, either everybody should be singing. Or these
The
are
audience
like,
sings, but the bartender's mic'd, so they overpower you.
it's their moment to shine. It's sort of like the
Yeah.
bartender equivalent of being a singing waiter.
Yeah, I can find the
It's like
negative in anything.
just make it a karaoke bar if you're gonna be obnoxious. Like just,
I just
fling the doors open.
a fucking part of me almost feels like it's like a monkey paw wish for the bartenders, where it's like, oh, don't worry, you are going to make a living singing in New York City. They're like, wait, what? Okay. And then they show up there and like, ah, fuck, you got me, monkey ball.
How many TVs were in this bar?
Zero,
Oh,
but
okay. That's at least
yes.
something.
No, the focus is on these people, and they certainly are talented,
I don't know if
and
that's better or worse.
I mean, I personally, being very uninvested, would have enjoyed like a little NBA semifinal action in the background. But yeah, I was, this came up in therapy earlier, where I
It
was
came up
like,
in therapy.
it's been haunting me for
You
weeks.
were traumatized by this place with singing bartenders.
Well, I was talking to my therapist because I was saying I enjoy comedy.
You need to get some more problems.
I enjoy comedy. Trust me, I'm working on them. I enjoy comedy as long as it seems like fun and not something I'm doing where you're like punching a time card. Because I was musing with her. I was like, I don't care how famous he is and how much money he's getting to do it. Do you think Mick Jagger like wants to be dragging his ass on stage and singing like Satisfaction for literally maybe the 10,000th fucking time? And
I
maybe
actually
he
think he
does.
does. I think he
Okay,
does.
yeah.
And he seems like the type who, if he wasn't playing a concert, would be strutting around in his house, mooning at himself in the mirror, still doing the chicken
He had a
walk,
bar on the Upper
singing
West Side.
Satisfaction.
The Upper
Yeah.
East Side.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's what it takes. Maybe, because there's certainly not any more nobility in me like having changed my 500,000th fucking lock. But I guess to me, it's so banal and no one would ever treat it like something beautiful that you're like, yeah, who gives a shit? Whereas I want to act like the arts are kind of like this inspired, divinely, beautiful thing, and that just ain't the case, but I want them to be that.
Well, I'm sure some nights they are, and some nights you're tired or just not as much in the mood. But I also feel like there's probably a hell of a lot more personal validation to playing a concert of songs you wrote than changing a lock. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. I will kill
Like, at a
myself.
certain, no, don't kill yourself. Just put yourself out there. But, like, yeah, sometimes it's work and it feels like work and it sucks. But also, like, to even get to the point where you're getting enough gigs where it remotely feels like work, like, God, what a fucking blessing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I've been at times where I'm doing so much it feels like we're just not getting the compensation whatsoever. And
Right,
that's the
yeah.
best of all worlds,
Oh,
Molly.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Anytime I got, like, the few times I got booked to do, like, more than one show in a night, and it's like, I get to feel twice as much stress and still not make any money.
Yeah, exactly. Double the single comp drink. Can't wait.
yeah, I'll get two Coronas out of tonight instead of just one.
I've gotten paid for a variety of improv shows at this point, and it's like I'd almost rather do it for free than get like the $50 check, because the $50, like it
50
feels.
bucks. Jesus Christ, look at you.
Look at this man paying.
You've been spoiled.
I know, I can buy almost an entire video game for that.
50 bucks for doing improv, and you're like, oh, this is starting to feel like work.
Well, it's
I
like
much preferred it when it was indentured servitude with yes ands.
yeah. Say yes and to slavery.
Yeah.
No, you just think though, like the amount of money you poured into it, the hundreds of hours of training, and then you're like, this is what I'm getting out of it. It's like I'd rather feel like I was doing it for love of the game, and if the payment ever does happen, it'll be, Lorne Michaels signing the checks or some
No, I
shit.
mean, who, what, how do you think I feel with, like, little Miss Nepo baby whose parents coughed up 120 grand so I could study the arts, and I'm still just a huge fucking waste of space. Like, if anyone should have hurled themselves off the top of the Tisch building, it's me.
Well, I know your mom's happy to hear that, but it doesn't let me off the hook.
I know this really fulfills her dream of outliving me.
And dying
Because
potentially sooner than you.
it's like she can look young forever, but if I live to a certain age and start to look too old, she'll just have to take me out, otherwise I'll blow her cover.
Yeah. She could very much like neck dart you and knock you out, and you come to in Rio de Janeiro with like new lips, tits, and ass.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I look like Shirley MacLaine in the apartment, and I'm like, "Why'd you try to turn me into
I actually got that
you?"
reference. That movie's fucking great.
Yeah, that's what she. I think that's how she always wanted to look, and I think she like sort of modeled her style after that for a while, but with the Tim Burton hair, and yeah, like,
Tim Burton.
If I live too long or if something happens, she'll just get me a bunch of plastic surgery and change my name and be like, "You're Amy Heckerling now. I'm never dying. You need to stop smoking and eating broccoli."
Staple Howard Stern's wig to your head and style it.
Yeah, there's no passing the torch. There's only setting you on fire.
Oh fuck. Yeah, no, I got to meet your dude finally. We'll talk
Oh,
about Friday
yeah.
before we get to Saturday, and obviously
Okay.
Saturday I have some stories before I even met you again. But yeah, Jason, your guy who is like enthusiastic. When you get him rolling on something, man, that dude is fired the fuck up. Like,
Is. He's and it's sweet. He like and I think I was always attracted to that quality in him, even though like I'm not 100% into all the things that he's into. Like if he shares an interest with somebody, he's very much like, "Oh, let me lend you this book. Oh, let me show you this thing." Or like he wants to share the things that he likes with you in a very sweet and childish way.
He was very
And
fired
he
up
and
about
Kelly,
Fallout.
yeah, well, you know, who doesn't? It's all the rage, and now it's like again one of those things with the show where it's like, well, I know I was playing this game before the show, and I know this version, and I know what it's based on, and I know who this character is, and what's going to happen, and sometimes that's cool, and other times it's like, you know, he's so intuitive when it comes to story structure too, that like I'll be watching something with him and he'll call the plot twist before it happens, and I'm just like, "You motherfucker!" Like,
Yeah.
I wanted to see your reaction.
How did you know that beautiful Irish lady had a cock?
Yes. I never saw it coming. Granted, I was 7 when I first saw it, but I
Yes,
never saw it coming.
I literally watched that movie because it was like mentioned in The Critic and parodied on SNL with Pat singing the Boy
Oh,
George song.
God.
And I was like, oh,
Oh.
okay, I want to be part of pop culture. And I watched it. And first, I was just like, oh man, that cock does not compare to anything I've seen in my dad's porn. And then, like, the rest of the movie just kind of sailed over my head. Like, it's a complicated film, very good, The Crying Game. But, yeah.
So I was really young when it came out, and we would get all the Academy screeners, you know what I mean?
Oh,
And
yeah. Like, they would send you tapes that said, do not duplicate on the bottom or some shit like that. Or,
Right. And like my babysitter Barbara, who was like, you know, Little Miss Dark humor, like a child of Holocaust survivors, was like, you know, always showing me movies when I was way too young to see them. Like she showed me Rocky Horror Picture Show when I was 5 and told me it was about a guy who put on a dress and sang songs, like
Oh,
made it
God.
sound way more wholesome than it is. Obviously, I loved it,
I broke
but
into Jerry Lewis's vault and found this clown movie. Would you like to watch it with me?
I'm surprised if there was a copy left in existence, we would have watched it. But yeah, she showed me like The Crying Game, but I only remember that one scene. It must have been like one of those moments where it's like, "Oh, wait, come in here, kids. You gotta see this." Like, I don't think I saw any bit of the rest of the movie.
Yeah, just watch this broad
It's
hang
just like,
dong.
"Oh,
Okay.
here it comes." Like,
Yeah. Like, yeah, to pull one from your mom's movies, like bringing someone in for the red bikini scene and be like, all right, get the fuck out.
that scene you kind of know what to expect. It's not like Phoebe Cates all of a sudden whips out a giant schlong and waves it in Judge Reinhold's face. It's not like, "Oh, what a twist."
Doesn't anyone have a fucking box anymore?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that would have been a twist.
You
I'm sure there's a trans porn parody out
know
there.
what? You know what? Fuck it. I'm not doing this look who's talking shit with her. I'm doing my Crying Game Fast Times reboot. And I'm not
Yeah.
asking for permission.
Oh, God. Yeah, just the fucking same Cars song playing. Bikini Bottom comes down. Just a giant hog pops out.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I got a good lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. Write that down. Oh, God. So, yeah, for the rest of the trip, I had a great story from Saturday morning before, because we spent most of the day with you on Saturday as well. But like
Yes. With
Saturday
Rosie.
with Rosie. Oh yeah, you're the human cannonball of your two children.
The
Although
Pluto.
she was like I mean, she was honestly not too manic when I saw her, and it like I always like would chuckle because you said she just lives for snacks, and I was like, oh yeah, I identify with that kid. And we were hanging out at your place later, and her snacks were all over the place, and I was just like, hey, can I start eating these pretzel nuggets? And you're like, yeah, sure.
I relate to someone who's throwing a tantrum unless they're getting chocolate and pretzel nuggets all
Yeah, exactly. Unless they got simple carbs in their diet, they don't want to live. I'm like, yeah, I get that kid.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No,
but
she only really like throws fits at me and Jason, but mostly Jason.
well,
Because, you know.
it's funny. He reminds me in a way of my mom, where there's like a no back down quality on like anything.
Oh, let's talk about that interaction with him and my mom. When
Oh, yeah.
he's like
Yeah.
trying to explain astroturfing to her regarding all the like protests. And
Yeah,
at first
we
she
can
doesn't get it. And then he's like just starting to explain. She's like, oh, yeah, I get it. He's like, you know. Or then even like it was the same energy, but they're talking about the cable box from Spectrum that she like, you know, extra like routers and boosters and things that they just like give her that she pays for that she doesn't need. And he's trying to explain it to her. She's like, yeah, I got it. And it's just
yeah.
like him trying to power through an explanation and not backing down, and her just being a brick wall of ignorance.
Well, I can identify with her on that because there's times you don't want a lengthy explanation, and he would get real fired up, and so it sounds like he's angry even if he's not angry. And like
Yeah.
when I met your mom, she was just on the bed watching like fucking Simpsons reruns with your two kids.
She's just like, don't talk to me. I'm on the treadmill. I'm watching TV. I'm watching Law and Order. Like, don't talk to me. That's what I'm just sort of like. Are we high functioning autistic? Because like Jason's sister will be watching Law and Order and give you that exact same fucking look if you're trying to like
Well, I mean,
say anything to
then
her.
I've dated a lot of autistics, you know, like I don't
Yeah.
know. Women love Law and Order.
Well, we do love a procedural.
I mean, that was me dating in the late 2000s. It was like just how many SVU DVD box sets were going to be on the shelf of any fucking woman's house that I went into. But
Yeah.
yeah.
She calls it sexy victims unit.
They are sexy. That's how the ladies would suck me into watching episodes. Then you got your Hargitay and your Maloney, both
Yeah.
attractive
Is
people.
that Richard Belzer?
Yeah. Oh,
Oh
well,
yeah, he's fucking sexy.
can't go wrong with Bells. I love a good
You
brain.
can't. I fucking love Richard Belzer. He can get it, even though he's
Detective
dead.
Munch. Yeah.
Oh God, what was that joke? Oh, I must have told you that last Richard Belzer joke that Jimmy Vallely told me after he died.
Oh, what
Oh well, there were two. They're both like Jew and Hitler related jokes.
I'm in. Go on.
Okay, so the first one is like, these two Jewish prisoners like realize that Hitler goes for like an evening constitutional every night at 11 p.m. and they plan to like, you know, assassinate him when he's on his walk unaccompanied, and they're waiting for him, and like 11 p.m. rolls around, no Hitler, midnight rolls around, no Hitler. And at 1 a.m., one Jew turns to the other and goes, gee, I hope he's okay.
Fucking good.
Then the other one was like, Hitler's walking down the street and he walks by a Jew, and Hitler like slips on some dog shit, and the Jew laughs, and Hitler pulls out a gun and he's like, oh, you think that's funny, Jew? Like, eat that dog shit, like, or I'm gonna kill you. And the Jew's like, well, what can I do? So he like eats the dog shit, and Hitler laughs so hard he drops the gun. And the Jew picks up the gun and points it at Hitler, and he's like, aha, now you eat the dog shit. So Hitler's like, okay, what can he do? He eats the dog shit. And the Jew laughs so hard he drops the gun, runs home to his wife, and says, you'll never guess who I had lunch with today.
God damn. Oh, those are both good. Those are
They're
both
so
very good.
stupid.
I fucking love them both. Jesus Christ, I miss when that was comedy. Oh, shit.
So that's our loving memory of Richard Belzer, Sex Victims Unit.
Oh, fucking rest in peace, man.
Yeah.
That guy, I've loved him since his little cameo in Scarface as the MC.
Oh my God, right when that whole room gets shot up, and it's like, well, at least we got to see Richard
Yeah, that
Belzer.
weird, like, you're like, I get it. They were doing a lot of coke in Miami in the early 80s, but was that a comedy club routine? Just a weird guy in a suit? Like, what the fuck was that? Like, if you really watch that scene, you're just like,
Oh, and
look,
the
I.
guy's like dancing around in a weird mask with the fat suit on, and it's just
Yeah.
chaos. And
Like, look, I get
yeah,
it.
I
80s
don't know.
stand-up sucked, but Jesus
Yeah.
Christ. Like.
If the room didn't get shot up, Bobcat Goldthwait was going to come out with a bathtub and a shower and,
Light it on
bathe
fire.
on stage. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh my
Gallagher was
God.
going to smash a watermelon or something.
Yeah, it's funny. It's you learn about Tim Allen and how he was originally arrested for moving tons of coke and then got into comedy. You're like, maybe it wasn't that big a jump, really. These worlds straddled each other.
He's just, yeah, he's dealing coke to comedians and thinking, I'm funnier than this guy. Because cocaine also gives you unwarranted confidence.
Because I, not that I ever did it, but I did. And when I would, like, because I was ADHD, it just hit me like ADHD meds. Like, I would just calm the fuck down. Like, basically, I would immediately have to shit from all the baby laxatives. I'd usually get a boner. But otherwise, I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Let's do some algebra homework. You know, like,
Everyone else is talking a mile a minute, and you're just sitting there quietly, like,
yeah, exactly. Let me crack open that copy of War and Peace. Like, what's
Yeah.
this all about? No, I probably the funniest thing to happen to me was in the morning, like Saturday morning. I don't know, like whenever I road trip, and you're on the road a lot driving between New York and where you're at now, Vermont. Like, I purposely don't drink a lot of like water, so I'm not having to like pull over and piss every 5 minutes.
Right, yeah.
And like, I was understandably like, I woke up early in the morning to leave. I didn't take my usual lovely morning deuce. And I wake up Saturday and I don't feel shit either. And so I'm like, okay, fuck this. Like, let's drink a, intestinal Drano's amount of coffee somewhere. And I do that and like, it works. And suddenly, like, I'm turtle heading like right next to the John Lennon monument. And I'm like, I have to find a place to shit ASAP. And so I strut into a Starbucks. And like I get the code for the door, because I think Starbucks' shtick is like you don't have to like buy anything there to befoul their toilets.
Right.
And it's like there's a line for it, and then there's a an unhoused woman, I'll say it very PC like, who's sitting there chatting my ear off while I'm just trying not to shit my pants. And she's like asking me about the city. I'm like, dude, I'm just here visiting. I don't know it inside out. I finally like race in the bathroom, absolutely blow it the fuck up, and then like in true nightmare fuel fashion, look over to the toilet paper dispenser and
Oh
empty, empty as fuck. And
no.
I have never in my life, Molly, experienced this where it was just an absolute literal shit show. And then I had to kind of like duck waddle back to the counter and be like, you guys are out of TP, and I'd really appreciate if you got on that immediately. And a dude looked up, and this guy in his 20s, a very distinctive look with kind of frizzy hair, tattoos, and he's like, yeah, I'll get on that. And I waited something like 15 fucking minutes, like asked again. Someone else eventually walks in there. Again, have to wait while the homeless lady's chatting my ear off, and now I've got an ass full of shit on top of everything else.
Right.
And I finally get back there, and that was a profound experience. And do you want me to include the button on that story now, or
May
we
as well,
can?
you've included everything else.
Okay, so you and I, we'll get to it organically. So you and I, again, this is something else I haven't really discussed much, but
You and Kelly
my
have started pegging.
yes, both ways. You know, like I do her, she does me, but I wear the same strap. And no, she's Kelly wants a kid, and we can dick, you know, fucking dedicate a whole other episode to that. But you were kind enough to be like, hey, let me show you my kids. They're super sweet. We, you know, I spent the afternoon and the evening seeing them, and we'll get into that in detail in a minute if we want. You and I finally go out for drinks at the end of the night. I march back home. It's like 11:30, 11:45. Between all the coffee and the couple of beers I had, I need to piss my brains out. I find the one Starbucks on the way home at 10:45, about fucking 15 minutes before they shut down, a different location from the one I went that morning. I march in. I'm like, please tell me you have a public bathroom. The same guy from the other location looks up and is like,
My
nope, I don't have a public restroom. And I'm like, this guy has been fucking my excretions the
God.
entire fucking day.
It was the
But
same guy at a different
it was the
Starbucks.
same guy, different Starbucks, I guess just doing double shifts. I was like, how the fuck did that happen? I mean, it's not like I saw him, you know, again, moonlighting as a surgeon or some shit. He was just doing
I
Starbucks at
just
a
love
different
the
Starbucks.
idea of him being like this fucking houseless guy crab walking
Yeah,
into
exactly.
every Starbucks looking for toilet paper.
Just
Like
using my fine company like a goddamn latrine. Oh, God. So that got me. But yeah, do you have to run, or did you want to recap any more of our antics,
No, I mean,
getting to hang
I
out?
enjoyed when you and Kelly came with us to the kids' museum, and like you've been freaking out about having a kid, obviously,
I
because
have
it's a
been.
huge thing, and
It is.
when you guys came to the kids' museum and saw just how many parents are literally checked out on their phones or asleep in a chair while their kids are
There's,
just
yeah.
running amok. And it's like, yes, this is a huge commitment, and clearly no one else is batting a thousand at it. So maybe you can feel like, yeah, despite all of our fucked up preconceptions about parenthood, like perfection is obviously everyone's desire and no one's fulfilling it, but everyone's just doing their best. And if it is something that you do, it's not a life-ending situation. It's exhausting, but also like you have a super supportive partner. And yeah, you would make a great dad who's just checked out on his phone while your kids run amok at the kids' museum. Like you had a good time. It was cute. Like it was fun.
It was fun. I mean, the kids museum was there was a I remember a series of pneumatic colored tubes that would suck up colored handkerchiefs
They
of the
did,
corresponding
yeah.
colors
It's sort of
and
like
then
those
spit
tubes
them
they
out.
have at the bank where you put the little, canister in and it sucks up your
Yes.
check. And
So
they had that with scarves, and all the kids got to just like watch all these little scarves fly around. And I'm not trying
yeah,
to
I was
belittle, I'm not
basically.
trying to belittle kids and how smart and absorbent their brains are, but at a certain point, sometimes it is almost like having a puppy where it's like, oh, you want to do this 1,000 times in a row? Okay, you're cute. Sure. Here, like, go fetch. Like, I don't fucking
Oh
know.
yeah, I mean
Here's a scarf.
your
Put it in the thing.
younger daughter and a bunch of other kids of similar age were watching this like they were seeing fucking Goodfellas for the first time.
Yeah.
Like they It was incredible to them. I was just like, hey, can I find a plunger to put over one of these tubes and stick my
Right.
dick in the little
Yeah. Yeah, it's like for them, it's like the Gushers commercial where it's like the colors, Duke, the colors, and you're like, this reminds me of something I could stick my dick in. This is a hose
It's
that
it has a big sucky mouth. Let's make this
sucks.
happen. Oh
All right, I
God.
take it
So
back.
yeah.
Maybe you wouldn't be a good dad.
Yeah, don't let me around, kids. But yeah, we ultimately got back to your place, and I got to tour the Gray Gardens, as you put it, which you've really hyped up the hoarding on. And frankly, I wish you'd come to Virginia sometime so you could see how the master does it.
I guess it's not like so hoardy as much as it's like eccentric, because it's like there's three chairs here and one of them's broken and you only sit in the broken one that you've reinforced with pillows instead of sitting in literally any other chair.
It was it was an interesting building. It was like it was many, God, like how many fucking floors was it? So
It's
you could kind of,
5 floors.
yeah. So there's like, I get it. You can have a lot of broken shit in a lot of places.
It's
You're just like, ah, this floor is no good. You know,
sort of
like.
like in Mary and Max about the dude with Asperger's, where it's like his one TV had sound and no picture, and his other TV picture and no sound. It's like, okay, we've cobbled together a functional lifestyle in this like weird recreation of tenement housing that my mom's tried to make to recapture her childhood for some strange reason.
She grow up or something, or
She grew up, she lived in Brooklyn and then in the Bronx.
okay. I mean, she
But
was New
like,
York, but yeah.
like I think at first like in this building where it's like, Grandma Rosie was upstairs and we were downstairs and everyone was just all living together and that's how it was for my grandpa too. So it's just like, and I
No,
guess
it's
it's only
funny.
like a modern day concept that families need to split apart. Like a lot of cultures still just like it's a given that families, live together
I
and
mean,
support each other. I don't know.
I was talking with a close friend of mine this weekend, and she was saying how, a modern thing that she was reading up on is like a bunch of friends try to grab apartments, or like they get a co-op together. You
Oh,
know what I
yeah,
mean?
no,
Like
they do.
they,
They'll buy a house together and then all the friends will live together.
yeah, and do like this whole little community thing. But I do believe like what you were doing, living with your mom, like it's overall a, I don't know, it's a good thing. Like I do think it's weird that families kind of split the fuck apart, and it
Well, that's
fucks
sort
you
of a.
financially. And
It's a modern day phenomenon that sort of started after World War II during the baby boom. It was also partly because Sigmund Freud's, was it his daughter, Anna Freud, really like, popularized this notion of the atomic family.
okay.
It's a great, it's yeah, it was a great way to sort of like sell a bunch of housing and boost the economy in some ways, but also it fucked family structures and is more
Yeah, no, I mean,
expensive and just leaves people with less of a support network and
sense though that it coincided with just the amount of fuck you money that was in the economy back then in America, because like yeah, I would have moved out too if my rent was like $150 a month, or they're the equivalent thereof. No, I don't know, man. It's fucking, I don't know, I don't know where you are on if you're coming back from Vermont to New York or whatever, but like fuck it, go back if you want. There's broken chairs that need you, Molly.
Bye, go back, sit in the broken chairs and do unpaid comedy shows and watch
Yeah.
your boyfriend fight with your mom about cable boxes.
That
And I'll be just
was
like, I have seizures. I can't drive. I can't handle this. Bye, y'all.
it was what can I say? New York was fun to drop in on, and I very thankful you were awesome hostess, and Jason was great. Your mom was very nice. The kids were cool. Harper, by the way, was teaching me like card games and shit like that. She's a smart little shit too. I mean, shocker, you're very smart, but
You're playing
yeah.
Schmear. It's basically a card game where you just, it's a bagel on cards and you make a bagel.
I mean, I get it. You make sandwiches, you flip over bagel tiles, and yeah, you fucking, if there's a tire, guess what? That can't go on the bagel sandwich. So
Sound
there's a couple
like
intricacies.
she's Bobby Fischer or something. It's like you guys are playing Schmear.
I mean, fuck it. She could string two sentences together. What can I say?
Yeah.
I don't know
We
how you're
did
supposed to
good.
grade a kid.
We did
Yeah,
good.
yeah, yeah. Well, that's fucking cool. But no, it was a good time. Horrible dumps aside.
Yeah. Well, it was that's quite a saga on this side. That's quite a B plot.
It was an S plot, but yeah. Oh, God. Well, shit. Let's we'll do this again soon, maybe with cameras.
Can try to
Well.
get more advanced with this, and then if it goes tits up, you can blame my lack of technological advancement.
Fucking Luddite.
Yep.
You know what? We told you that we needed that ninth router in your house.
I should have listened to the dude from Comcast. Anyone who makes you wait 3 hours is worth listening to.
Oh God, you don't want to. I know that you have like that many fucking stories, and it actually, for real, must be a nightmare having like a decent signal everywhere in that place. But like, God, the internet in my girl's place eats shit. Like, I mean, it's almost to the point you're like waiting for lines of a nude Pam Anderson picture to reveal themselves. Like, it's just a pussy hair shy of dial up. It's
Yeah,
terrible.
you're
And she pays
like
a
five
fuck
more
ton.
lines and I'll get a collarbone.
Is
And I came already.
that an areola? No, a shadow. No, it sucks. God, if you're like in a building, like she's in a condo, and it's like you can't really, unless the entire condo complex gets wired, like you're kind of at the mercy of whoever the fuck got in there first. And we're dealing with Comcast, it's just horrible. So yeah, what I'm saying is if there's choppy, shitty video, probably on my end. But
Okay, cool. Then I
yeah.
blame you.
All
Sweet.
right.
All right. Well, I'll on that note, I'll talk to you later.